Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter? I am reading, don't do that. Go to 1 Peter. Sorry. It's all about organization. I am in 1 Peter right now. I'm reading what Mark and John said around Jesus. What Peter and John, who were firsthand eyewitnesses, saw even the private stuff. So I'm reading the Gospel of Mark, which was affected by Peter. They believe that was what was in Mark's ear. I'm reading the Gospel of John, and then I'm reading the epistles by these guys. That's what I'm locked in right now, okay? So that's why I just picked 1 Peter for a random deal. And here's what I want to do. I just want to make a case again and plead with you to read your Bible. And not only to read your Bible, but to have a conversation, to have a dialogue when you read your Bible. We've made this case before, but many have a monologue with the Word of God. That's good, and there is stuff to derive from it and learn principles. But listen, I think the way the Bible becomes alive to you is when you have a conversation in the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. When you talk to the author of the Scriptures, and you do that while you're reading. So that takes a mindset. If you come into the Scripture and you're like, I'm going to look for stuff that I'm supposed to do, I think there might be a limited grasp of what's going to happen there. But if you'll come in there to meet the Lord himself, okay, and to have conversation with him, I really do think it can shift some stuff. So I love this book. I'm in verse 3. Blessed, here's me reading, in my bedroom, okay, rocking. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that I would understand the glory of your fatherhood over the Son. That, Lord, I pray for a praise, whatever Peter was feeling that made it blessed be, that he felt blessing and sacrifice about you, God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for revelation of you as Father according to his great mercy. That phrase, that's a great phrase that we just read over really fast. Not just mercy, his great mercy. So, Lord, would you show me how big your mercy is? Download it in my heart. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would birth hope in my heart. This is what I'm doing by myself, and I'm just letting you window into that. You don't have to do it this way, but I think it's something you can do. I think it's powerful to read the Bible out loud. You don't have to. You can read it in your mind, and God knows you're reading it. But when you read it and say it and get your tongue moving with them, it really controls your mind. It's tough, really. If you're having trouble sometimes reading Scripture and your mind wandering, get your tongue going. The tongue will bridle the brain, and you'll have a tough time thinking about other things when you're speaking out loud. So I really do encourage the out loud reading of the Word of God. And then when you're out loud reading it, begin to ask questions. Begin to make requests. That part touched me, that we're born again to a living hope. Lord, sometimes I feel despair, so I'm asking for a fresh infusion of my inheritance as a born-again believer to a living hope. Not just hope and information, a living, alive hope. Lord, what does that mean? I'll do that. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, make that as alive in my heart as it was in the Apostle Peter's? Thank you that I'm born again. Let me know about the resurrection. It's not just some doctrine on a page. Lord, would you touch my heart with this thing that would give me endurance, that I am born again to an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven. What is that? Lord, I'm asking for a fresh revelation of my full inheritance. Not only here, but what's coming, that I'm building up an inheritance in the heavenly realms, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Lord, let my faith rise. Thank you that your power is guarding me from every temptation, from everything the devil's coming to do. Thank you, but I pray you would encourage me in this regard. Now jump with me. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with a joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory. I love to get that part and go, you're invisible. There's a back secret voice in my head that wants to propagate unbelief in me. But what Peter tells me is, though I don't see him, I love him. Though I can't really grasp and get my eyes around him, I believe in him. And I pray for an invisible faith, for an invisible love that's growing in you. I pray unbelief would be fettered out of my heart and that I would walk seeing by faith. Does this make sense? And then I'm walking, I'm having this conversation with him, okay? And I just want to encourage you to have a dialogue with your Bible. I want to encourage you to press in, to grab some scripture, to be deliberate about what you're going to do. I don't know if you heard my deliberateness. You have to do it like this, but I got in my heart at the turn of the year, I want the firsthand eyewitnesses. That doesn't mean I don't like James or Hebrews. I love them. I'll get there and I'll be on that. But right now my heart's like, man, Peter and John had a front row seat to Jesus. I want to read everything they said about it. I'm going to read it slow. I've read it hundreds of times already. But I'm like, Lord, like the first time I've ever read it, would you make my heart alive with the Word of God? I'm going to read a little bit slower, take my time, find phrases, look at how Jesus interacted with people and begin to interact with the Word of God. Listen, I'll just do this one more time, and I know this is simple, but please read your Bibles, and please pray your Bibles. People shed their blood to get you this Bible. This is no normal book. We're taking it for granted. I've got 55 of these at home. 55 of them. There's people in other countries that are sharing one page and passing it around the village. We are rich in scripture, and because of it, sometimes we've become a little bit lazy with the glory of what it is. I wish for a while, and this is a strange thing for a pastor to say, but I almost wish every Bible was taken away from us for a month. I wonder how we do, if we care. I'm not trying to do condemnation, but listen, it's a gift that you have the Bible. This is a supernatural book that tells us the past, the present, who God is, and where this is all headed. And so I'm doing all that to brag on it just to whet your appetite. Okay? I don't like any of that. You should be reading your Bible. That's what Christians do. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to waste my time on some condemnation deal trying to make you feel guilty about a... I want to tell you how good the food is, how good the buffet is. These are living words. These are living words that when you activate your faith, the Spirit of God begins to move and your heart comes alive. This is the light for you to navigate a dark world. This is the book of hope filled with revelation of how we get through all this. So I just want to make a plea for you to read your Bible. Amen. Who will read your Bible this week? Just tell me, will you? Will anybody read your Bible this week? Just read one chapter, all right? Do it slow. I dare you to do it, and I dare you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you as you go through it. I dare you. Holy Spirit, I'm going to do 1 Peter chapter 2. Would you just teach me? You're the best teacher on the planet. Here I go. And then show up for the class. Have the dialogue and let the greatest teacher on the planet make your heart alive with the Word of God. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, take us deep in your Word. Stir up real, break us free from dead doctrine. And let us be alive again in the scriptures. I pray you break us free from just monologue reading. We'd come into the dialogue of dynamic supernatural talking with you by the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.